You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Thursday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good Thursday out there. The whole world awaits a Mueller report. Now, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty on this. Right? Just remember, it's just a game of chicken. Right? For national power. And nothing's going to change. But who controls the narrative? That's what we're going to fight about. Yep. So, anywho, that's going on today. On a very, very positive note, got a call a little bit ago from a corporal. Hey, sir, I can't download that, the Warrior Wellness Octagon. Yes. Set through your class in Quantico, and it was awesome. And I'm trying to download that thing, and it's not working for me. And I said, that's because the communists, the controlled comm, don't allow that kind of stuff. So I emailed them. And sometimes they strip the links, but not today. They went through. So pretty cool, pretty cool. So that starts the day off. You're going to hear an interview next week with the corporal that wrote me an email over the weekend about how post-traumatic winning had changed his life. And it's going to be an eye-opener, right? I think for a number of reasons. Just the world of young Marines, right, that they live in, and young people in general live in. So it's a great interview. We're like probably two-thirds of the way through it, and we'll finish it up today. Finish it up tomorrow. So pretty cool. So that's going on. What else is going on? I got an email from my oldest son last night, and he sends me a letter. Let me find it here. He sends me a letter, and he says, "Hey, what's up with this?" And so General Furness in the 2nd Division put out a letter about discipline and about how the 2nd Marine Division, I got to find it, how the 2nd Marine Division is going to go through a discipline stand down. What? You can imagine how this went over. Let me see. Copy image. I gotta blow it up a little bit so I can read it. How pathetic is that? It's just the facts, man. It's just the facts. All right. Here's a policy letter. Purpose. It's called subject. Basic daily routine. Marines and sailors of the 2nd Marine Division. In my travels with the Sergeant Major and the Command Master Chief throughout the division spaces, I've noticed a significant decline in the basic discipline of our warriors. Because the 2nd Marine Division has the majority of personnel assigned to Camp Lejeune, we will take ownership of this problem and fix it, all caps, immediately. We have allowed Marines and sailors to walk around with long hair, non-existent or poor shaves, unserviceable boots and utilities, and improper civilian attire. There are weeds growing around our buildings and workspaces and trash everywhere, but the dumpsters where they belong. These are just a few of the examples of the lack of discipline seen across the board that will not be tolerated in this division any longer. Our Marine Corps embodies the highest professional standards. How we look in garrison, how we maintain our equipment, weapons, barracks, and workspaces is directly related to how we perform in combat. A general lack of attention to detail and collective action by peer and corrective action by peers and leaders results in lower discipline and destroys the foundation on which the Marine Corps was built, ironclad discipline. As leaders, we need to all step up to the plate, reestablish and enforce a basic daily routine that promotes habits of thought and action, efficiency, and adherence to the standards that are the hallmark of our nation's force and readiness. Part of what makes us different from our sister services and American society is the regimentation of our daily lives. Adherence to orders and standards helps foster mutual trust in one another and produces the attention to detail required to be effective when called upon as our nation's 911 force. Below is a basic daily routine that I expect to become the norm across the Follow Me division. Follow Me is the motto of the 2nd Marine Division. I expect, and then in all caps, each and every Marine and sailor to fully embrace the following routine. A, I understand that at times unit obligations will require modifications to the basic daily routine. However, the intent remains the same. Reveille. Supervised by leaders. 05:30 to 06, hygiene, general room cleanup, and blinds half-mast. 06 to 08, physical training, PT recovery, and police call barracks, common areas assigned to area cleanup. 08 to 08:15, platoon company formations. Leaders use this time to inspect personnel, equipment, barracks, etc. 08:15 to 12:00, morning tasks. 12 to 13:00, chow. 13 to 16:30, accomplishment of assigned afternoon tasks. 16:30 to 16:45, platoon company formations, pass guidance and direction for the next day. 16:45 to 05:30, liberty. Time, and then in parentheses, time to ensure your uniform and equipment are squared away for the next day. Scope. Leaders will inspect their Marines and sailors daily to ensure that adherence to our naval services highest standards is accomplished daily and embraced by all. Leaders and peers should not be apprehensive in the correction of other Marines and sailors. Leaders will have the full support of the division in the enforcement of this order, as you will be held accountable for the appearance of your Marines and sailors. Any dissenters can answer to myself, the division sergeant major, or the command master chief of the division, and will be dealt with accordingly. Can each of you live up to the mantra of, if I was accused of being a Marine sailor today, would there be any evidence to convict me? Close quote. At this time across our force, I believe the answer for too many is no, and it needs to be corrected immediately. DJ Furness. So you can imagine the shitstorm that created on in the Twitter sphere and all of that. And so it's interesting. I have two sons that are Marine officers. And my younger son just got out of the Marine Corps, and he will tell you, without a doubt, the Marine Corps that I described to him, that he expected to join, did not exist for him. Yeah. Makes no bones about it. And that if you correct people, you're the jackass. So now, I have deployed three times with General Furness, and I'll just give you some background behind this. So we've deployed three times together. In our last deployment to Afghanistan, of the last 31 Marines that were killed, let me see, 19 of them were our fault. 19 of them were our fault. Pretty stunning, right? I think in sports it's called an unforced error. So it wasn't the Taliban killing somebody. It was us not doing the things that we are supposed to do, and therefore compromising our own lives. That's pretty sobering. Now, in 2006, there was another event. You can look it up. And it's called Hamdaniya. Hamdaniya. I'll go to the Wikipedia page for it. The Hamdaniya incident refers to an incident involving members of the United States Marines in relation to the shooting death of an Iraqi man in April of 2006 in Al-Hamdaniya, a small village west of Baghdad near Abu Ghraib. An investigation by Naval Criminal Investigative Service resulted in the charges of murder, kidnapping, housebreaking, larceny, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy associated with the alleged cover-up of the incident. The Marine Corps was forced to drop many of the charges on the defendants. The defendants were 7 Marines and a Navy corpsman. 5 of the defendants had negotiated plea deals to lesser charges of kidnapping and conspiracy and have agreed to testify in these trials. The battalion was 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. The commanding officer was Lieutenant Colonel David J. Furness. And the story goes that these Marines thought an Iraqi man was involved in an IED ring. So they went into the house, and this is just a story, right? They went into his house. They took him. They flex cuffed him. They put him down by a shot hole. They went to a position, and they said there was a shot hole would be an area where an IED went off or an IED was detonated. So it's an old hole, right? So They put him down there, and then they radioed in asking permission to kill him, to engage an IED emplacer. They did, but he didn't die. So when they walked up, he got shot again. They all told the same story. But General Furness had watched the way they operated. Undisciplined, unshaven, wore their uniforms. They were too cool for school. Because some of them had fought in Fallujah, and I don't know if you realize this, but if you fought in Fallujah, that makes you legit. And every stupid thing you think of, because you have that experience, you know the way it truly is in combat. And so you don't have to obey the rules. You just do what you think is right because you fought in Fallujah. Yeah, so that's the way that works. So anyway, he had watched them for, I don't know, a couple months. Now, what happened was the army was beginning a surge inside of Baghdad. So the way a company from 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines went to work for 1-1 was the 5th Marine Regiment, which was 1-1 and 3-5's higher headquarters, was given more battle space between Fallujah and Baghdad. You can look that up on a map. So in order to cover that battle space, a company from 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines was attached to 1st Battalion, 1st Marines. That's how General Furness got to see those guys. And he saw that they were nasty. Undisciplined. And so, to me, if you... Those are just two data points, right? He's got 7 combat deployments in his career. So, those are just a couple data points. And I think anybody who spent any time in Iraq and Afghanistan around infantry Marines, hell, around any Marines, will tell you, you know, you're going to pay a price when you're undisciplined. And so when you see the daily habits of Marines getting nasty and disgusting, then I think the only question is, you know, will you do the right thing? Now, there's an article that I found about General Amos. And this is in USA Today in October of 2013. Headline, Commandant calls for renewed focus on discipline. The Marine Corps' top officer is calling on the service to renew its focus on discipline and standards amid early signs that 12 years of combat may have caused fraying of the service's values. Quote, my greatest focus will be kind of getting us back to the fundamentals of business of a disciplined Marine Corps, said General James Amos in an interview this week. Amos has issued letters to the Corps' top leadership and non-commissioned officers calling on them not to relax standards as Marines return to the barracks after years of deployment in Iraq and Afghanistan. Amos calls for a reawakening of the service's core values, which perhaps more than any other service is defined by intangibles such as discipline and fighting spirit. Amos said discipline problems are not widespread, but they pointed to a fraying around the edges that needs to be addressed quickly. This is a problem with a very small percentage of Marines who aren't living up to standards. Now, I would say that's not, I don't agree with that. I'd say it is widespread. I mean, if you look at what the Fitzgerald is going through, you look at what the Navy's going through, you have to decide if you're going to be part of the military and you'll embrace discipline, or if you're going to say please when you ask everybody to do stuff. And I think there's only one answer to all that. It's you join the military, and it is discipline, but it's an ongoing problem. And if my son, maybe I'll see if my son Patrick wants to come out and talk about it. He may or may not, but I mean, he would come home and his blood would be boiling because he'd be standing there as a lieutenant. And let's just say everybody's sleeves are supposed to be up Or let's just say everybody's supposed to be down. Just, you know, Marine Corps changes, right? From summer to winter, and your sleeves go down. Somebody walks in with their sleeves up. Now, there's people who I would tell you that it's their job. It's their job to correct that. And they happen to be NCOs and staff NCOs. And so Patrick said, I'd be standing, Dad, and nobody says anything. And so I said something, because I'm not going to let it go. And I said, nor should you, nor should you. And so he would say, but it just drives me crazy. Like, you know, and then people look at me like I'm an idiot for enforcing the standards that we all know we're supposed to enforce. And while I was doing it, there were staff NCOs and NCOs standing there. And things like parking in fire lanes, right? Not supposed to do that, right? In case there's an emergency, fire trucks can get there, right? Routinely done. Walk into the armory or something like that, and all of a sudden Marine pulls up, parks in the fire lane, gets out of his car. Good afternoon, sir. Patrick's like, stop. You know you're not supposed to park there, right? Yes, sir, but everybody does it. Get in your car and move it. Yes, sir. And Patrick said, you know, it's just these little things that happen on a daily basis. And then, you know, you're supposed to go to the field at 08. You can't step off on time. Guess what? Because you can't get your counts right. Right? You walk into somebody's barracks room and it's a disaster. Why? Nobody inspects it. Another friend of mine tells a story about going and inspecting a unit. Now, this is a general officer. And stands in front of the first Marine in his dress blues and says, has anybody inspected you? Okay. Answer, no. What? I mean, like, did the world turn upside down? Like, what happened? That's not the way we do it. Field day. Do we field day anymore? Answer, no. It's kind of a general cleanup. Does somebody inspect it? Well, no. Meaning like boot camp inspection? Like, well, no. No, I mean like inspect. Like, I don't know what you mean. Like, yeah, I figured you didn't know what I meant. You know, so I mean that's the kind of stuff that goes on. I heard another story from somebody recently, Commandant of the Marine Corps, on a recent tour of the Far East. Walks into a company office, and the duty NCO, the person that sits there, right, doesn't even stand up, right? And there's this awkward, like, here's the Commandant of the Marine Corps, walks in, right, corporal, whatever. Just sits there and looks. And then all hell breaks loose, right? What? Do you not know that? And that's just lack of people correcting people, right? It's like lieutenants, right? Staff sergeants, gunnies, first sergeant, people not putting a charge in somebody's ass. But again, it's just this, I would tell you, my own opinion from talking to Marines is it's a problem in the Marine Corps. It's a huge problem in the Marine Corps. Think about this. Marines, there used to be a day when you had to get your uniform ready, right? You shined your boots, you pressed your utilities, you made sure you're squared away. Now you don't do any of that. Get out of bed, shower, shave, put your pajamas on, your boots. You don't have to do anything to your boots unless there's dirt on them. And half the time they won't even do anything to that. Just go to, you know, there's no effort into it at all to being squared away. And those are the little things that get you ready, right? Preparation, doing what you're supposed to do, doing it every day, being on time, having your gear. That's the daily chicken shit of discipline. That's how you do step off to the field on time. Somebody inspecting, right? Somebody supervising, making sure the right things happen, standing in a certain spot, drinking a cup of coffee at a certain time because he knows if it's going to go off the rails, it goes off the rails here. And then when it begins to point in the wrong direction after a sip of coffee, they say, not that way, that way. And then it all goes right. That's how it works. So, my son would tell you, not only is it a problem, it's a huge problem. So it's interesting. Interesting. And let me tell you, here's this little prediction. This could become a national story. Marine Corps doing a discipline stand down? What is that all about? Yeah. What in God's name is going on when the Marine Corps is doing a discipline stand down? Well, I think anybody who's been around the Marine Corps for a little bit will tell you. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing when we're doing stand downs. Just not. So pretty interesting. That hit the internet last night and I guess was blowing up on various message boards and different feeds that Marines frequent. But let me tell you, what they don't understand, God bless them, is that the way you behave in garrison when you're back here translates, as sure as I'm sitting here, to the way you'll behave in combat. And when you're undisciplined, more people are going to die. You've heard Mike and I talk about it, and it makes you sad. It makes you sad. And so I commend General Finesse for it, because I don't know that I've ever seen anybody do anything like that. And it's not like he's going to take a fair amount of heat for it, or he will. He'll be ridiculed by all the people that don't know what we know, and that is this. Honestly, I mean, think about that. 19 of 31 Marines killed. I'll give you examples. Not wearing your seatbelt harness. ID goes off. Should be a broken ankle, maybe, you know, an ankle broken in 3 or 4 places. But instead, because you don't have your harness on, your seatbelt, your chest is thrown against the steering wheel of the vehicle, and the force of the impact rips your aorta from your heart, bleeds to death. That's not a hypothetical. It's not a hypothetical example that I just gave you. I'll give you another one. This is us killing one of our own. Marines in a vehicle moving through an area with a bunch of other Marines. Some are dismounted, some are mounted. The lead element forward about 1,100 meters at 11 o'clock from the vehicle gets shot at. Somebody yells contact. The machine gunner up on top hears that. Contact. Right? And then he turns the turret, and he's pointed at 9 o'clock, right, with the direction of movement being 12 o'clock, right? So he's pointed off to the left side of the vehicle at 9 o'clock. He says something like enemy sighted or targets that he's acquired. The vehicle commander doesn't look over his shoulder to see the direction that he's pointed in. So the vehicle commander's looking at 11 o'clock. The gunner's looking at between 8 and 9 o'clock. So he says, identify, which means he's acquired the target, but he hasn't. He's acquired friendlies. The vehicle commander says, if they're enemy, fire. What do you think the gunner hears? Fire. So he shoots and kills one of his best friends. I already gave you the example of just undisciplined Marines in Iraq, right? Murder somebody. Is it worth going to jail? Is it worth what you did? Answer, no. More Afghanistan, though. Find an ID, set security. Now we got to wait on EOD. Except I don't want to wait for EOD because it might take them too long. So let me interrogate this thing and see what it really is. And I do. And it blows up literally in my face. Because it wasn't a remote-controlled IED that we were jamming. It was a pressure plate IED that I functioned with a knife. And just this stuff goes on and on and on. I mean, to the tune of 19. And so I started seeing these things, and I'd bring them to General Furness's, or at the time, Colonel Furness's attention. And then as units would come in, I would go down and brief them. One of the last briefs they got before they went out into the battle space, I'd introduce myself. My name is Major McNamara. I do current ops for the regiment. I watch this battle space like nobody's business, and I came down here to tell you the most recent trends and how we're getting killed. And I would go through slide. And so at first Marines are, you know, they're interested, you know, they're kind of looking. And, then next thing they've got, you know, elbows on their legs, leaning towards watching intently. Then after about the ninth one, and you have 10 more to go, right? Both hands are over their mouth, or one hand's over their mouth, and they're just staring. And the look they give you is, hey, okay, stop. And the direction was, do all 19 of them, right? Do all 19 of them. They need to hear these stories about not being disciplined. And the truth is, the units that were disciplined, they lost most people. And so there is a direct correlation to being disciplined and not getting killed in combat. But let me tell you, the novices in this profession don't know that. And it's up to the leaders to do the right thing. So, again, I mean, I commend General Furness. I can't commend him enough because we've lived it. We've seen it. And it's horrible. It's horrible to know that this Marine died. His family will never have a father. His parents will never have a son again. Will never spend another holiday with him. And it didn't have to happen. Didn't have to happen. Walking down the road, going to swap out with another squad, and don't have my compact metal detector out. Yeah, the most basic thing. We're going over there. And steps on ID and is killed. The most basic thing we do in moving in the land of the ID is have a compact metal detector in the lead guy sweeping in front. But wanted to get there in a hurry, so didn't do that. And paid for it with his life. So it's a rough business. It's a rough business, and you got to be disciplined. And if you're not disciplined, then somebody ought to have the moral courage to correct it. I would tell you, too many people, though, too many people in the Marine Corps, you know, look the other way, which is a sad comment on leaders in the Marine Corps. And if you're not, if you're a corporal or a sergeant, a staff sergeant, a gunny, and you're not doing this, right, you're not inspecting, you're not holding people accountable, what are you doing? Getting another list made? I don't know. So, I mean, if you can't tell, I'm a little bit passionate about it, because I've seen it, and it is just heartbreaking. And when you see it on a recurring basis, it's just heart crushing, absolutely, positively heart crushing. And so I think for people like me, it's amusing to watch, you know, these discussion boards and things like that, you know, of these salty ass, you know, clowns who don't understand it. Because the people that do understand it, they know that when you're not disciplined, you pay. And it's not a theoretical price. It's people being zipped up in body bags. And I mean, that sucks. That straight up sucks. So, yeah. So yeah, you can check that out. The letter, I put a copy of the letter in the post for this today. So you'll see that entire letter in the post. So you can read the whole letter. But essentially, it's saying, hey, we gotta do the things we're supposed to do. So anyway, so United States Marine Corps Band makes this Thursday official. Dedicated to the idea that discipline's a good thing, whether it's self-discipline in your personal life, and that's essentially what we're talking about, or unit discipline in any organization, be you an athletic team, but in a nation that doesn't like to do discipline, we all know that the road to success is paved with discipline, in part, and you can't get there, be you a garbage man, a CEO, an athlete, or an artist. You cannot get there without being disciplined. So this is dedicated to that idea, and hopefully more people embrace it. It is a good force, right, in the ecosystem that we live in. Self-discipline, unit discipline are both good things. So here's to more people embracing that idea, more people living better lives, more people living less chaotic lives because they do embrace those ideas.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that It's not say, it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with him brings motivation to him.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Somebody sent me an email and said, you know, Mac, Mattis isn't the SecDef. Do you think you should still have him in there? No. He makes me laugh every day when I hear that, man. So, yes, of course, he should be in there. Come on. I mean, it's got to be funny, right? I think so. So, I vote yes. Mattis stays. That thing makes me laugh every day when I hear it. All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. Currently in Quantico, clouds in 65 degrees. Camp Lejeune, clouds in 76 degrees. Granbury, Texas, clouds in 63 degrees. In 29 Palms, it is sunny and 70 degrees. At Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy and 60 degrees. Okinawa, Japan, dark, cloudy and 69. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy and 67, so continued mild temperatures there. In Afghanistan, warm spot, clear, dark, and 73. And at the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 61 degrees, looking for a high of 77 degrees today, 77 on Friday, and 65 on Saturday. That is a look at your weather. Take a break. We'll check some news headlines when we come back, and then we'll hear from Jeff Kenny and Tim Lynch in the 9 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that. And again, I'll ask them their thoughts on discipline. You know, and Jeff will certainly have more than Tim, and so we'll talk about it. And I say that only because Jeff's around the division, retired more recently than Tim. So we'll talk about more of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives.
Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
Peyton Davis. it's kind of hard to wrap my brain around what you're saying, because I've always pictured the Marine Corps as being the hallmark of virtue and discipline. Interesting times we live in. Let me just tell you, the fight is the same fight that you know, is fought all across this country between a culture that doesn't value overcoming adversity, between a culture that doesn't do discipline, and then life, right? Life then gets in the way, and it's like, oh my God, now what do we do? I mean, I would submit to you that one of the most important qualities that you embrace as a human being is the ability to overcome adversity. But if people don't allow you to experience adversity, how do you get the repetitions you need to do that? Answer? I don't think you do. I don't think you do. So now you go out to deal with life, and that's the way you're going to go. Answer? Yes. And if you have snowflake parents, right? If you have lawnmower parents, if you have bulldozer parents, if you have helicopter parents, you don't have the life skills you need, and then what happens? Well, if you're just out in life, maybe you can have the luxury of moving home. What happens if you're in a conflict? You know, that discipline stuff, I mean, that's so yesterday, and then people start to die. Pretty sobering little event. Another email. Who's responsible? Who is allowing the sliding down the slippery slope of sloppiness? Where does the buck stop? Well, you know, in the Marine Corps, the buck always stops with commanding officers. And, I mean, what do you say? If you see it and don't correct it, what does that say about you as a leader? And, I mean, what it says is that, you know, it's more important to a lot of people to be popular than it is to, you know, tell the truth. And then do the right thing. Because sometimes the right thing hurts, and it doesn't make you popular. Here's another message. Hold on, let me find it. This makes my blood boil because I know it's true. There are too many among us who let small things go, and that screws up units. The people who then hold people accountable get ostracized and ridiculed because they enforce standards. It's pretty pathetic in some units. The bottom line in many units is that the inmates run the asylum. And that has to stop. I commend General Furness for doing what he's doing. Those of us who know, those of us who give a shit, know that this is in fact the truth, that the reality, this is in fact the truth, the reality that the Marine Corps deals with every day. However, your story about the Marine not standing up when the Commandant came into duty office is pretty unbelievable. Good God. Now, I don't know, maybe he panicked. Maybe he's just stupid. But they can all be taught. I was someplace walking around with the commanding officer in the last couple months, and I'll tell you what, the Marines that were there, they stood up. They saluted and reported their posts just like my Marines used to do on sea duty. Locked on Marines, right? On sea duty. They used to report those posts. You know, sir, right? Good morning. Lance Corporal Benatz, Post 1 reports all secure. All ammunition accounted for. Nothing else to report. They'd report their post. Cut their salute after I saluted. Very well, carry on. Every time, no exceptions. It's discipline. But, and there, again, the most important thing is there's a purpose in all of that. All right, enough of that. Oh, actually, we'll take a break. Then we'll talk about it some more. I'll get some more opinions. A video went viral of a Marine at the Boston Marathon that was run on Tuesday. A Marine's crawling across the finish line. 31-year-old Marine veteran. By the name of Micah Herndon. Crawled across the finish line. He told the Washington Post, "Survivor's guilt, it's real. I definitely have it because I was the lead machine gunner in that convoy and I didn't see the bomb that was buried. I'd live with it every day." He ran the marathon in honor of three comrades who lost their lives in an IED explosion in Afghanistan in 2010. Herndon deployed in 2010 to Marja, Afghanistan, with the Lava Dogs, nicknamed for 1st Battalion, 3rd Marines, that are headquartered in Hawaii. During the deployment, Herndon's unit struck three IEDs. The first one claimed the lives of two friends, Mark Juarez and Matthew Ballard, and a British journalist, Rupert Hamer, or Hamer. The third strike tore through Herndon's mine-resistant MRAP, essentially, launching him from the gunner's turret, knocking him unconscious. Herndon said he now finds solace in running. Quote, "I went from being in a war zone one day to trying to live a normal life the next day. We were going on three or more missions a day, constantly on guard, and when I got home, I was still in that mode. I never will be able to get over it, I don't think, but I'm coping. I am trying to get rid of the demon. I need to get a hold of the dude. There's a reason why I'm here," he told the Post. "I'm just trying to find out what that reason is." So, anyway, trying to find meaning in your suffering, man. So, post-traumatic wing is going to reach out to that Marine. Next headline, a Marine rifle optic shortage nearly caused critical impact in marksmanship training. Yeah, if we don't have our optics, guess what? We can't shoot. In the fall of 2018, weapons expert at the annual Marine Corps meeting on all things marksmanship warned that without action on a shortage of working rifle optics, shooters at the basic school in Virginia, Parris Island in South Carolina, and weapons and field training battalion at Edson Range in California would face critical impact on training within 6 to 12 months. A combination of a shortage and a number of damaged rifle combat optics used on the M4 was prompting the warning. The issues with the RCOs referenced in the message were addressed well before any impact to entry-level training occurred, said Captain Caroline Foote. So there you have it. Much ado about nothing. Obviously a slow news day. We're okay with that. The military service academies begin to follow the transgender ban. So that in the news, as all things transgender tend to go to the top of the page. And a story that we've been following, because to me it's emblematic of all the crises that the DOD creates and then tries to walk away from. Headline, will the benefits for Blue Water Vietnam veterans be settled soon? The fate of disability benefits for Blue Water Vietnam veterans will be among the key topics lawmakers tackle when they return from their districts at the end of the month. In January, a federal court ruled that the Department of Veterans Affairs for years has used faulty reasoning to deny disability benefits to veterans who served in ships off the waters of Vietnam. VA officials had argued that extending the benefits to an additional 90,000 veterans would cost as much as $5 billion over 10 years, a figure that advocates have disputed. This week, Senator Kristen Gillibrand and Steve Daines, who's a Republican from Montana, announced plans to reinforce that ruling and establish a permanent fix for these veterans who claim exposure to cancer-causing chemicals, Agent Orange, which has caused a host of cancer and respiratory illnesses. I mean, what's stunning is we're talking about 50 years after the conflict, and now we're talking about these guys coming to the end of their lives. And now you see the damage that the DOD has done with lead paint, with mold in homes, and should those people feel any encouragement at all? Answer, no. Blue Water Navy veterans' problems center on the idea of presumptive benefits claims. Because of the heavy use of chemical defoliants like Agent Orange during the Vietnam War, VA assumes any veterans who served on the ground there and later contracts an illness that could be related to toxic exposure should be presumed to have a service-connected health condition. That significantly reduces the paperwork and wait for disability benefits worth up to several thousand dollars a month. Under current department rules, the Blue Water veterans, individuals who served on ships up to 12 miles off the coast, could never make landfall. But they can receive medical care for their illnesses through the VA. But to receive disability benefits, they must provide scientific proof that their ailments are directly connected to toxic exposure while on active duty. Advocates have said that, given the time that has passed since the war, obtaining such proof is impossible. So you can see the VA's position. If we extend this to this many people, right, who cannot prove that there is a connection. I mean, how about a connection such as, was Agent Orange on your boat and were you in a position to handle it during that time? I mean, is that, like, not legitimate? It seems to me that, you know, was Agent Orange on this boat during this period of time, and was this person in a position to handle it? Even in a tangential way. I think that would be at least prudent enough for me. All right, top five stories in early bird. One, the Army has a plan for China, and it's bad news for the JLTV and the Chinook. We talked about this yesterday. The Army's, you know, wanting to develop different weapons, long-range artillery and things like that, that could be used in a conflict with China in the Western Pacific. And what is going to pay the price is going to be transportation, lift, and things like the JLTV, which is not forecasted to be used in great numbers in a conflict with China. Number two, should this airman receive the Medal of Honor for a Laos battle? A congressman thinks so. A California congressman is pushing to upgrade a retired Air Force colonel's Air Force Cross to a Medal of Honor for extraordinary heroism in a fierce 1969 battle in Laos. That's in Air Force Times. Number three, why another U.S. destroyer is prowling the Black Sea. The guided missile destroyer Ross arrived in the Bulgarian port of Varna this week for another round of military exercises in the Black Sea. Why do you think it is? Because we're continuing to put pressure on Russia. And you have to. Number four, number of female generals, admirals has doubled since 2000, a report finds. Number five, new legislation would recognize nine more diseases caused by Agent Orange. That's in Stars and Stripes today. So we'll take a quick look at Stars and Stripes headlines, and then we'll take a break, and then Mr. Lynch and Mr. Kenny will join us. Top story in Stars and Stripes today, Trump tweets game over as Barr says Mueller report shows no collusion. Number two, mistaken active shooter reports puts Bangal Dam Air Base on lockdown during an exercise. You know, the Air Force, they did this in at Andrews Air Force Base. For whatever reason, the word doesn't get out that we're conducting a drill today. Next story. Officials dismiss speculation that rival nations might try to salvage the downed Japanese F-35A. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Tim Lynch and Jeff Kinney. First thing we'll talk about is get their thoughts on discipline. See what they think. I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you what they're going to say, but stand by. More of Auburn Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.